So, we are in Ephesians chapter 3. Pastor Eric finished up chapter 2 last week, and chapter 3 kind of finishes off. If you were to outline Ephesians basically in two ways, the first half of Ephesians is a lot about Christian beliefs, and the second half of Ephesians chapter 4 through 6 is a lot about conduct and the way we are supposed to act as Christians. Ephesians chapter 3, though, there's some interesting aspects to it, particularly the beginning of the chapter. And I have to ask you, have any of you guys seen the movie The Sixth Sense? Anybody? Okay, spoiler alert, if you haven't. I mean, the movie's like 17 years old, so if you haven't seen The Sixth Sense, it's probably already ruined for you, but I'm going to go ahead and ruin it for you anyway. He was dead the whole time. And at the end of the movie, you find this out. And I was one of those people, right, that went to see it opening weekend. I had a friend who said, hey, we got to go see this movie. I heard some good stuff about it. So I'm in the theater, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm trying to figure out, because the whole thing is kind of this big mystery. You don't know what's going on. And the whole movie, I'm like, what is the deal with this movie? And then at the end, if you've seen the movie, right, that he starts to realize that he's not alive, and you're kind of, he's dead the whole time. Oh, man, you just have to go back and rethink the whole movie. Did anybody ruin that movie before you saw it for you? Anybody? A couple people? Did anybody have the guy? I had a friend who went to the theater and saw the movie, and it wasn't ruined for him. But halfway through the movie, this guy behind him is like, honey, I think he's dead. Right? And he's like, come on. Don't do that. Right? Right in the middle of the movie. I don't know about you guys. I love movies with surprise endings. That's why I like that movie so much, was the fact that you had this big surprise ending. Today, we're going to talk about one of the greatest mysteries ever told to us, ever given to us. We know the surprise ending. Paul talks about it. Christ talks about it. And we don't have to be surprised anymore at this ending. Beginning in chapter 3, one of the greatest themes throughout the book of Ephesians is the unification of the church. So Paul is really talking to a group of Christians that are both Jews and Gentiles, and they're really struggling with this idea of Christ, of salvation. We'll get to that a little bit more in the passage. At the very beginning of chapter 3, this is kind of what's interesting or what's sort of fun about this passage of Scripture in chapter 3, is after the first verse in chapter 3, Paul kind of goes on this little digression, almost like a little tangent. He starts chapter 3 with the beginning of this prayer, and he's like, hang on a second, I have a thought, which the Apostle Paul did a lot. It's this thought, which is verses basically 2 through 13 that we're going to talk about today. And it's a really, really important thought. Paul digressed for a reason, and it's because it was a really important thought that he had for us and for the Ephesian church. So we're in chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 13. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And if you notice, probably in your Bible, there's a little dash, something like that. This is where he digresses. He goes on a different thought. It says, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by the revelation... that by the revelation there was made known to me the mystery, some of your translations might say secret, divine secret, the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery, says it again, of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it now has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific. So here's the mystery, folks, here's the surprise ending. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart in my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you so much for your word, for apostles like Paul, Lord, for your disciples, obviously for your son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for us and saved us. Lord, I ask this morning that you would preach to us. God, I pray that you would pastor us this morning. I pray that your spirit would be in this place, that he would speak to us through your word, Lord, that it wouldn't be through me, God, but it would be through you, and it would be through scripture. Lord, we love you. We give you praise this morning. Give you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this passage of scripture in Greek is basically three sentences. I'm going to kind of try and unwrap it a little bit, break it down a little bit, sort of that way, in the way that Paul wrote it. So, because it's kind of three thoughts, three separate thoughts that he has during this time. The first point from God's word I want to discuss this morning, though, is this. This mystery has changed the world. This mystery has changed the world. Before Christ came, the only access to God was through the Jews. That was it. You had to convert to Judaism, you had to follow their rules, and even at that point, your access to God was pretty limited before Christ. However, with the revelation of this mystery, we now all became stewards of God's grace, which is kind of the heart of the mystery. And I want to discuss this first, because Paul discussed it first. He actually says that we are stewards of God's grace, which is the heart of the mystery. In verse 2, Paul accepted that stewardship, and he passed it along to the church at the time, which realistically the church at the time, or the church now, is us. We are stewards of God's grace. And what does that mean to be a steward of God's grace? It's really important to this mystery that's been revealed through Ephesians. Paul just outlined this concept of grace in the previous chapter. Pastor talked about it. It's Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast." God's grace and what we are stewards of is the concept of salvation. Right? Everybody understand that? We are stewards of God's grace, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." The fact that we're stewards of God's grace will be very important as we continue through this particular passage of Scripture. It's why I start with it, that we are stewards. We are now stewards of God's grace, stewards of salvation through Jesus Christ. What we know is that God, through Jesus Christ, revealed this mystery to us. This world-changing mystery, God, through Jesus Christ, revealed it to us. Really important. Revelation happened through Jesus Christ of this mystery. He was the one to open the world's eyes to the great mystery that Paul was talking about. Paul's revelation happened through Jesus in Acts chapter 9, his own revelation. Christ came to him on the road to Damascus. You can read that later if you want. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Christ revealed himself as part of this great mystery. In Acts 4:33, we see Christ is at the center of the revelation when he says, "And this great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." So what is the great mystery? We already read about it. I already ruined the rest of my sermon. I ruined the surprise ending. The great mystery was in verse 6. It is that salvation through Jesus is available to everyone. Salvation through Jesus Christ is available to everyone. And the great mystery is not simply the message of salvation. It's that salvation is available to everybody. I want to read, I rarely use this translation, but I want to read verse 6 from The Message, the translation of The Message, because it's such a cool, interesting translation of the passage. Verse 6, this is from The Message. It says, "The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, the same help, the same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. See, we here in the 21st century, this is not a new concept. You're telling me, Ryan, you're not ruining the ending, because I've known this, you know, either my whole life or when I came to salvation, I understood that salvation through Jesus Christ was for everybody. In the first century, this was a major, major change. You have to understand, there was two main things that both the Jews and Gentiles in the first century were trying to understand. They were trying to understand this idea of salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. Wait a second. So all this stuff that I know from, well, they didn't refer to it the Old Testament, but what, everything that I know from the Scriptures, you're basically telling me that the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ just satisfied all that? And all I have to do is accept it? And hold on. If that's not enough, what you're telling me is that now it's for everybody? Again, sound like a new concept to you? Not a new concept to me. In the first century, this was big. There's a reason that Paul digressed. And that's because this is a huge concept. And guilt trip number one, there's a lot of people outside of our doors that don't know the answer to this mystery, what we're talking about right now. We know it, hopefully. Hopefully most, if not everybody in this room, understands the concept of this mystery. But there are still a lot of people today that don't understand the mystery. There's a reason this passage of Scripture is available to us to talk about the fact that salvation is available to everyone. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. I want to look at Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. This is what a lot of people haven't heard. Verse 9 of Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of who? All. Absolutely. Lord of all. Abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? It's awesome. Awesome. Powerful passage of Scripture. Romans 1. Verses 16 to 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Titus 2:11, and this is all Paul, by the way. This is all Paul. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared. How did it appear? Through Jesus Christ. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Paul was really good at ruining the surprise ending. He was really good at letting people know the answer to the mystery. Powerful. What's interesting is how, and I put myself in the shoes of these first century Christians, having to go back and look at the entire available Scripture at that time and completely rethink it. See, we can look at it now. We've got the New Testament. We understand the concept, hopefully, we understand the concept of salvation, that it's available to all, and that Jesus Christ died for us, and that the Old Testament, realistically, throughout, is referring to Jesus Christ. They didn't have that. They've got to go back and relook at all of it and say, whoa, that had to have been very difficult. Which is why, again, I believe Paul continually digressed. So why is this so important for us? Why is this so important for us? Like Paul, as Christians, we know the ending. We know the ending. We know that Christ is not good for some. We know that all roads don't lead to heaven. We know there's only one way, and that is through whom? Jesus Christ. Absolutely. We know that all we have to do is confess with our mouth and we will be saved. But this knowledge comes with incredible responsibility. I think I said in your notes, great responsibility. Great responsibility. The first is humility. Humility. Paul was humble. He was a humble, humble man. And it's, by the way, not our nature to be humble. That isn't how we're built, to be humble. In verse 8, Paul says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 15:9, this is what Paul says. He looks into his past and he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." If you know the story of Paul, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he persecuted Christians. He was a very zealous Jew who didn't want the story of Christ to become known. He was the one that was having a hard time believing that Jesus was who he said he was. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." He just said he feels he's the worst of all sinners. The man who wrote most of the New Testament feels he's the worst of all sinners. See, the message of salvation becomes much less effective when we don't recognize our need for it. Let me say that again. The message of salvation becomes much less effective if we don't recognize our own need for it. If we become like those people who bragged about knowing the end of the sixth sense, and hey, everybody, he's dead. Get it? Or even, you know, one of those people that kind of shuts it in, "I'm not going to tell anybody. You know, I got to keep the secret." This isn't that type of mystery. That's not what we're trying to do here. People need to know. It's why this concept, or why I started with this idea that we are now stewards of God's grace. We're stewards. We are the keepers. God has put us in charge of being his ambassadors, of sharing this message of salvation. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be sharing what we know with others. We need to be sharing what we know with others. That's the next great responsibility we have. And there is a key to beginning with humility when it comes to sharing our faith with others, because it's not always that we are arrogant in our Christianity. And I'll get to kind of where I'm going with that in just a second here. In verse 8 and 9, Paul says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery for which ages has been hidden in God who created all things." So remember, Paul is not the revealer here. Christ is, right? Christ is the one who came and revealed the great mystery. So what did Christ say? What do we know about Christ when it comes to sharing our faith? Hopefully you've heard of the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." But Ryan, I don't really think Christ was talking about me. I don't have the personality for it. That's for people like you. You know, you can walk up to anybody and just talk to them. It's not really for me. We can fall into a trap of something called the sin of silence. The sin of silence. I've been reading recently, I should say, I read a book by a guy named William Fay calling Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And he talks about this concept. And what's really interesting is he kind of starts off discussing how the disciples, when Christ went through his arrest and then he was crucified, the disciples didn't speak out. They didn't come to Jesus' rescue. In fact, what did Peter do? Peter ended up denying Christ. And Mr. Fay's reason for bringing this up is, a lot of times as Christians in the church, we look at Peter's story and we go, "Whoa, I've never done that. Thank goodness I've never just flat out verbally denied Christ." And yet, the lack of saying that we know him, or omitting the fact that we know him to the people around us, is denying him. We deny him constantly in our lives just by not saying anything. He describes two types of Christians today. And this one hit me the hardest. There are those that talk about the lost, and there are those that talk to the lost. Those that talk about the lost, those that talk to the lost. It's a difficult one to try and classify myself. What am I doing? Because you know what? I talk to the lost probably a lot more than I think I do. Whether it's going to get some coffee, whether it's getting my groceries, going to the store, just about every place there could be somebody that I might be talking to. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Again, there's that humility standpoint he ends that verse with. Colossians 4, 5, and 6, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunities. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Folks, we need to be silent no longer. We need to have the humility to put ourselves aside and realize that we've been given stewardship of God's grace, that we are the keepers of the knowledge of salvation for people. See, there's a humility aspect to being arrogant in Christ, but there is a humility aspect in just not sharing at all. I just can't. I don't know enough. I'm going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to make God look bad. What's the central focus there? Me? Not them. There's a humility aspect to both. We need to be those who talk to the lost, not about them. And we need to be ready. And when I say ready, let me just give you an example, okay? This is what I do. I have this Bible. I have a New Testament that I use. Usually pretty small, something a lot of times I can keep in my pocket. I keep one in my car. In the back of the Bible, I wrote down Romans 3:23. Everybody know that verse? "For all of sin come short of the glory of God." Right? I don't really need to write it down, but if I was nervous, in a pinch, couldn't remember, hey, it's written. I got it. So I go to Romans 3:23. Oh, and I even have my little marker there too, just so I know where to start. And in there, I don't know if you can see this because it's really tiny print, and it's why I did it, but it's also so I can find it real quick. It's highlighted so I can see it. And actually, I can have them read it. They can see it real quick. "For all of sin come short of the glory of God." You know what else I did? At the top of my Bible, in the margin, I wrote Romans 6:23. You know why? That's where I'm going next. And I'm not smart enough to remember all the scriptures that I want to talk to somebody about. I've got about 7 or 8 scriptures that I go through in my Bible that presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? It's a simple way. It's effective for me. Some of you may have taken Evangelism Explosion. Some of you walk through the Romans Road when somebody talks about Christ. Personally, there is no method defined in Scripture of exactly how we're supposed to walk through the plan of salvation, just that we're supposed to. Find your method. If you don't have one, I can share this with you. It's a really easy, in fact, you can't have this one, but you can have another one because my wife wrote my name on the front. But I can give you another Bible. I can write the scriptures out for you. Be ready. Colossians says, make the most of the opportunities you have to share the scripture. Boy, I was sharing with one of our youth the other day. I have had the opportunity and failed. And there was one specific time where I had the opportunity to reach out. And this was only a matter of weeks ago. And I've felt guilty about it ever since because I didn't open my trap. It was the sin of silence. I just sat there and went, you know what? I don't have time. It's just not the right opportunity. I'll wait for the Spirit to move next time. Man, we can't fall into those traps. We've got to be ready. Whatever it might be, carry a track, carry your Bible, carry something, but be ready. Make the most of your opportunities. We do this because, as Paul says in this passage, we have been part of the mystery all along. We have been part of the mystery all along. Verse 10 and 11, he says, "So the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through whom? The church." Through the church, that's us. "To the rulers and authorities in heavenly places," and I'll get to that part in just a second. "This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to talk about that first part, the church. God's revelation through the church. First, like I talked about earlier, Paul's biggest themes throughout Ephesians is the unification of the church through Jesus Christ. And really, that's the greatness of this mystery that's been revealed to us. But not only did he unite us as a church, Jew, Gentile, everybody, but look at verse 10. It says, this mystery is revealed so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So God simply doesn't want humanity to know. He wants everybody to know. Because you know who it includes in the rulers in heavenly places or rulers and authorities outside of this world? That includes Satan. That includes the devil. That includes all his angels or fallen angels. That includes everybody. God, through the church, now wants everyone, humanity and beyond, to know that salvation through Christ Jesus is available to everybody. Man, if that doesn't get you excited or at least motivated to share your faith with somebody, it should. If God is going to this type of effort to make sure everybody in heaven and earth knows about Jesus Christ, boy, we better get excited. We better get involved. This goes back to sharing what we know. 1 Peter 2:9, really, really powerful piece of scripture. Peter says to the church, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Matthew 5:13-16, Christ says this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. As stewards of God's grace and now sharers to the world of the fact that his grace is available to everyone, we can be bold and confident through Jesus. We can be bold and confident through Jesus. Remember our responsibility to humility. This boldness and confidence comes only through Christ, right? Let's listen to verse 12 and 13. In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Who's him? Jesus. We have boldness and confidence through faith in Jesus. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. See, Paul knew that boldness and confidence only came through Jesus Christ. His imprisonment, his tribulations were for those who came to know Jesus. So he had boldness, he was excited about it. And you know, if you want to tell me, hey Ryan, humility and boldness, those just don't work together. They did for Paul. They did for Paul. I mean, I read you the passages of scripture where he said, of all sinners, I'm the worst. And yet he preached the gospel. He followed God's calling. Man, I don't know if any of you feel that way. I do all the time. God, if there is anybody who is so undeserving of standing up in front of a group of people and talking about scripture, it's this guy. But you know what? I don't make the calls for my life. Jesus does. So if he's going to use a wretch like me, then that's his prerogative. And he's going to use me. And you know what? He's going to use us and allow us to be used in a very bold way, in a very confident way. There's a difference in being bold because of your own self-worth and being bold because you know Christ is your Savior. Amen? Proverbs 28:1, I love this verse, says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. What does righteous mean? Righteous is being like Christ. We are striving to be like Christ. We are bold through Christ Jesus. So if we are righteous, we're striving to be like Christ, we can be bold through him. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, a preview of things to come in the words of Pastor Eric. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Why do we need to stand firm? Because the devil knows, right? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God and this mystery that has been revealed, Satan knows about it. We've got to be able to stand firm through Jesus Christ because Satan's going to attack. The devil is going to attack us as we begin to follow this call of revealing this surprise ending, revealing this mystery to the world. We're going to be attacked. It's why we have to stand with the armor of God. We've got to have our boldness through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to close by asking you a couple of questions. First off, have you accepted this grace that God's offering? Are you still kind of wondering about this whole mystery, this idea that there's potentially only one way? Maybe you're just struggling with the idea that you're a sinner. Maybe it starts there. After that, accepting that you needed a Savior and that Savior was Jesus Christ. And all you have to do, if you're like me, the biggest problem is that all I have to do is confess with my mouth and declare that Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'll be saved. Have you accepted God's grace today? If you haven't, I encourage you to. I encourage you just to come up to me and talk to me about it. Maybe you have some questions. I can walk you through those passages of Scripture that I talked about earlier. But Christian, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a good steward of God's grace? If you know the Lord, you've accepted it, you've confessed with your mouth, are you being a good steward? Are you humble enough to see the lost around you? So humble to talk to them and share your faith with them. Are you making the most of the opportunities that you're given? And you know what, if you say, Ryan, I just don't get the opportunities, it's time to start praying for them. Because you know what? Holy Spirit's going to answer. And he's going to work in those people. And it's time to have confidence in the fact that you're going to be able to respond, that you're going to have the right answers. You know, one of the biggest issues for us to have confidence in sharing our faith is the fact that we think we have to do God's job for him, right? I've got to convince this person. I've got to make sure that they come to know the Lord. You know what? Scripture says that God does the growth, not us. All our job is to plant, maybe water, but at the end of the day, it's the Spirit's job. Boy, you want to talk about giving yourself some boldness, some confidence in the fact that all I got to do is share what I know, and after that, it's God's work. It's the work of the Spirit, not my own. Are you being bold? Are you making the most of those opportunities? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage in Ephesians and just Paul's heart, his humility, God, that he shares with us, that he gives to us. Lord, I ask today if there are people here that are struggling to know you, to understand your grace, to understand the concept of salvation, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be in this place this morning. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would work through the people in this church. God, for the Christians here today, for those that know you, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would convict us. Convict us to have a heart for the lost, to see those people around us that may not know you. God, that you'll give us the words to say, you'll give us the opportunities. Lord, that with those opportunities, we'll be ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the people of this church. Lord, what a loving church that you've blessed us with. God, what a loving people. Lord, we can make an impact in our families, in our neighborhoods, in this community, Lord. God, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you would have us do this week to share your word, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we give you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.